I remember many years ago, I met Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria in Eretz Yisrael, and he gave me one sefer. He wrote many svarim about Rav Kook. He gave me one sefer, Moad Dehariya, about how Rav Kook observed the Amim Teifim. So he gave me this sefer right before I went back to America. So on the plane, I was reading the sefer. When I was growing up, I never knew that Rav Kook was a Talmud Chacham. I thought he was a philosopher, because the only ones who would, when I was a little boy, I used to read the newspapers that we got, Anglo-Jewish newspapers, the only ones who quoted Rav Kook were the Reform and the Conservative rabbis. And they were always quoting him something about philosophy. So I never knew that he knew how to learn. Until I read the Sefer. Whoa, it was quite a big Talmud Chacham. So I sent a letter to Rav Neria thanking him. I never appreciated who Rav Kook was. So he sent me back a letter, and in later occasions when we met in person, he told me that there were two big Talmid Chachamim who were misunderstood. One was Rav Kook, one was Rav Soloveitchik. And he as a Talmid or Rav Kook felt obligated to set the record straight as far as his Rebbe was concerned. And I as a Talmid or Rav Soloveitchik should feel obligated to set the record straight about Rav Soloveitchik. He was very misunderstood. And he told me, I shouldn't wait till Lachamer Yes Mishana. I should start writing now, which I didn't do. I didn't write anything until after Rav Soloveitchik passed away. One of the things that people misunderstood very seriously about Rav Soloveitchik was they thought he was mezalzel minhagim. He didn't observe the minhagim the way everybody else did. My impression was that he was a very big stickler on minhagim. He was extremely makbid about minhagim. Tosis points out on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, you see from the Mishnah, even though it says Hakol Kamin and Kamdina, but the Mishnah tells you how thick the walls have to be when shutfim, when neighbors want to make a mechitza, a wall. So Tosis says, so why does it give you any shiur? Just say Hakol Kamin and Kamdina. So Tosis says, you see from the Mishnah that sometimes there's what we call a minik shtus, that's not binding. If the minik Kamdina is that it's thicker than what's prescribed in the Mishnah, that's a minik shtus. There's a famous Chuvus Rabbeinu Tam that's quoted it in the Shulti Giborim on the bottom of the Mordechai in Kiddushin, where the Rabbeinu Tam writes that the word Minhag is spelled Mem Nun Hei Gimel, the same letters as Gehenim. Sometimes you follow a Minhag, it's a Minhag Shtus, you go straight to Gehenim. In every generation, the Talmid Chacham have to be Kaveya, what's a Minhag Shtus and what's a meaningful Minhag. So for example, the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, when they would appoint a rabbi in their community, they were never acting, they never functioned as rabbis, and they would point the rabbi as a shliach to sell the chametz on their behalf. They refused to make the kinyan suitor, because the Rambam makes fun of it. The Rambam writes that it's a minik shtus. Rav Soloveitchik, on the other hand, was insistent that the Rambam didn't say it's a minik shtus. The Rambam explains why it does make sense, and the Rav said that a lot of times every rabbi knows that the morning of Erev Pesach, when he's about to go sell the chametz, he'll get a phone call. I forgot to come to ask you to sell the chametz. Please sell the chametz on my behalf. The balabas is already in his office, and he's calling the rabbi. So how can you make a kinyan suitor over the telephone? So Rav Soloveitchik gave two ways to fulfill the minig, even in such a case. The Rav felt that it's a serious minig. I remember once, I happened to be in Boston on Shabbos Parshas Matas Masay, so they gave me an aliyah by Mincha. They gave me, I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levi, I got Shlishi. So the Bakari was laying Dvarim, the beginning of a Dvarim. So the third aliyah by Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, he lay until Sheni. So I was about to close the Sefer Torah and say the Bracha Shinas on Lano. So Rav Soloveitchik said to the Bakari, no, he should lay until Shlishi. Bakari wasn't prepared to lay until Shlishi. So he asked in the shul, there was barely a minion. At that time, I think the yeshiva was in Roxbury. It wasn't where it is now. So he said, is there anybody else knows how to lay? Someone else lay till Shlishi. He said, what's up? Why do you have to lay till Shlishi, Manishtana? So he said, no, that was the minig where he came from in Europe, because the pasuk ends in the Haftarah Tziyam and Mishpati Pada B'Shaveh B'Tzdoka. And the Gemara understands, B'Shus Hamadas Hadayonim, will be Zeche to the Geula. And Parshas Devarim between Sheni and Shlishi is all about Hamadas Dayan. So that's why we have to emphasize that minig. He used to be a stickler for Minhagim, just on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. I happened to be in Bergenfield. So the Balkari was leading the Oz Yashir. So the meaning is that you sing it with a marching niggun, not the regular drum, marching niggun. So there's a pasuk that appears twice before the Shiras Hayami for Az Yashir. The Hamaim Lahem Chaimami Miram and Mismailom. So most of the shuls, my impression is that the Balkori Lane's the second one. The Hamaim Lahem Chaimami Miram and Mismailom. With that special marching niggun, the unique niggun. Where I was in Bergenfield, the Balkori Lane, both the psukim, Maim Lahem Chaimami appears twice, he laid both. With this fancy nick. Rav Soloveitchik's minig was, and he insisted that was where he came from in Europe, that was the minig. You only laying the first one with the fancy marching tune. The second one, you don't. Why? Because the first one is spelled Choma Chesvav Memhei. Choma means a wall. The second time it appears, two psukim before Oz Yashir, the second time it's spelled Chosavav. And the Medrash comments that there was Chema, that when they were leaving Mitzrayim, they already were taking out Pesel Micha. Kadosh Baruch Hu made all the Nisim in the floors. And they were taking out an Avodah Zarah, Pesel Micha at that time. So because the second Pasuk is talking about a tragedy that the Jews, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, were taking out the Avodah Zarah, so that's why it's not right to sing with such a cheerful niggun. The Rebbe is a big stickler on the Minhagim. A lot of the Minhagim, he was the only one who knew what the Minhagim were. I always tell him, Soroya Devolitsky was Chazanishnik. He put out a Luach in Eretzol. So he writes, what do you do when you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim? So the Gemara has the Haftarah for Kedoshim. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim and the Mishnah Megillah. If you're permitted to recite that Haftarah because it's about Te'evas Yerushalayim. So usually we avoid it. So when you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim together, you say the Haftarah of Achrei Mois. You don't say Kedoshim. And sometimes it's going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and sometimes it's going to be Macha Chodesh. What do you do if Achrei Mois Kedoshim are separate? And it's not Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and it's not Machal Chodesh. What do? You say the Haftarah of Tevis Yerushalayim. So Soroya Devolitsky quotes Rav Soloveitchik said, Chazanishnik quotes Rav Soloveitchik Gezok, that where he came from in Europe, they would say Halok of Nekeshim 2 weeks in a row. They would never say that Haftarah of Tevis Yerushalayim. We're machmer for that sheet in the Mishnah not to say that. He was so up on the Minhagim. He was always very inquisitive. He was always makpit to be medaktik on all the Minhagim. And Hazivloch, and Hazinu, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes that the Kepeda that the Gemara has to read Hazivloch a paragraph at a time, like a poem. You have to read each stanza separately. The Kepeda only applies on Shabbos, Parshas Hazinu, when you're going to lay the whole Sedra. But if it's on Sheni B'Chamishi or Shabbos afternoon, Parshas Vayelech, you're not going to lay the whole Sedra, so then you don't have to be makbed on Hazivloch. So Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from in Europe, the minig was, it's the Lubavitcher minig. Rav Soloveitchik had a blend of Valozhin Minhagim and Lubavitcher Minhagim and family Minhagim. So he said, the Kepeda was even on the weekdays, why to be makbed on Hazivloch? And he gave a whole explanation why it could even be that it's a Din Deraisa. I remember one occasion I was visiting in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Goldwich, Zichron Livracha, the one who was the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Kerem Yavne, was talking to me. So he was asking me, I should tell him over some hanhogas from Rav Soloveitchik. So I started to tell him over something that I thought for sure he never heard of, that when Rav Soloveitchik would say Kiddush Levana, he wouldn't say to three different people, Shalom Aleichem, he would say three times to the same person, Shalom Aleichem. So he says, yeah, that he knows. Rav Velvela always did like that. Rav Velvela would have a minion in his home. On Matzoi Shabbos, they would have Ma'ariv, and on Matzoi Shabbos, when they would say Kiddush Levana, there would be 25 people there. He would always say to one person, Shalom Aleichem, three times. That we were wondering, where did he get this one from? So we looked in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Ramah. It was a stickler to follow what is said in the Ramah, even though we don't follow that minion. We'd say to three different people. I remember when the Rav would get an aliyah. So everybody else would either close the Sefer Torah or close your eyes or something. He would always turn to the left. Was he turning to the left? He was wondering, why doesn't he do like everybody else? Then we learned in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He turned to the left. He was a stickler to follow the Minhagim in the Shulchan Aruch. I remember when we learned that Gemara, the last daf of Megillah, on the top line on the last daf of Megillah, the Gemara quotes a braisa, machlekes, Rab Meir, Rab Yudah. When a person gets an aliyah, so it says, you open up the Sefer Torah to the place where you're going to lay. So then Rav Meir says, you have to close the Sefer Torah, go low. you say the bracha in order that people shouldn't think mistakenly brachas ksuvas b'Torah. You shouldn't think that the brachas are written also in the Sefer Torah. And then after you finish saying the bracha, Shabbat Habanan, then you open up the Sefer Torah and you lay. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you open up the Sefer Torah and you leave it open and you say the bracha. So Tosfos says on that Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, not necessary to be goylel the Sefer Torah. But if you goylel it, it's better, it's preferable. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with our man, it's preferable. So the Magen Avraham says on that, even though Tosfos says like that, from the Rambam would appear not so. From the Rambam would appear that it's a kpeda, Rabbi Yehuda. We pass on Rabbi Yehuda, Alachik Rabbi Yehuda. We pass on Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered several gedolim when they got an aliyah, they wouldn't close the Sefer Torah. They would leave it open when they said the bracha. So that was his practice. And then he developed the whole idea, a whole shiur, why that should be. The Achrayim say because it'll be over the over. If you're going to close the Sefer Torah, then you're going to have to open up again, then it's going to be over until you're going to find a place again. So he thought that they didn't mean over the over is going to take an extra 10 seconds. He thought, I'll be there. He gave a whole explanation why. He was very makbid about his minhagim. We all remember at weddings, we never saw that they put the ashes on the chassan's head under the chuppah. They always do that before the chassan marches down the aisle. The rav always used to insist, he's not a chassid. He's not a chassan yet. He didn't get married yet. He must have seen it in Europe. He didn't invent this. He would be a stickler on the minhagim, to follow the minhagim the way they used to be observed. Last night I was at a wedding, so the band was playing a niggun. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam shehechiyanu. I kept on saying over and over and over again. Rav Soloveitchik said over Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, that constitutes a bracha levatolah. Remember, in all the, whenever you have a chagigah, we used to have it every so often. We had a chagig in the yeshiva. So someone would light the menorah and Chanukah. They would say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam. They didn't want to say, Baruch atah Hashem, so they said, Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam. So Rav Soloveitchik explained when he gave a shiur in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiveger has a tshuva. Even if you say, Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, it's also Baruch atah Hashem. Yoivan, Baruch atah Hashem. Two different hasberim. Why Rabbi Kiveger said like that? The other rabban, how come they still sing that? How come they still play that niggun at weddings? So Rav Soloveitchik had his own opinions. Rabbi Kiveger, what the rest of the world does read Shuvas Rabbi Kiveger. They should already do away with that practice. So Leitchik was a big stickler on minhagim. A lot of times you go to shuls, you see the people, sometimes they wear the talus over their head, sometimes they don't have the talus over their head. So Leitchik was once asked, what's the klal? When do you have atifa? So he thought that you have atifa for Dov Shebidlusha. That's what the classical poskim say, and for Shmona Esri. Based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Tefillah Liyaniki Ya'atov, an additional level of interpretation means that you do atifa b'shas Shmona Esrei. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered he did like Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim used to do atifa when the Chazan said Kaddish and Baruchu after Yishtabach, and then he would take off the atifa when he was about to say Kriya Shema. Others dafka do atifa when they say Kriya Shema. So Rav Soloveitchik said no. Rab Chaim's practice was based on the Medrash that the Taz quotes in Simen Ches. That the pasuk says "Belech Tucha Baderach," and the Gemara says "Kol Adam Kori Kidarkei." Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not like a Melech Basav Adam. By a Melech Basav Adam, if you go to a Lubavitcher wedding, so they'll announce onto the chuppah they're going to read a letter from the Rebbe. Everyone is requested to stand up. So that's what the Taz quotes in Medrash. When the Melech Basav Adam wants to send a letter to his Balabatim, so the request of the whole tzibah, everybody has to stand up out of respect for the melech, that we're reading the letter from the melech. And the Rabbanu Shlomo is easy going. He says, you want to stand, you want to sit, you want to be relaxing. Kol Adam Kari Kedarkei. So to demonstrate Kol Adam Kari Kedarkei, so they interpreted the whole Gemara in the first parak in Brachas like that. It's a din bedafke. You're not allowed to be machmer like Beis Shammai. Not only because the halacha is like Beis Hillel. That's the din. Kol Adam Kari Kedarkei. So he said, normally people do not wear atifa, only on special occasions, special parts of the davening. So he thought that it wasn't proper to do atifa right before Kriya Shema. That's the opposite from the din of Kol Adam Kari Kedarkei. He was not mezalzel minhagim. He had very strong traditions, like he had strong traditions how to interpret Gemaras. He had strong traditions on minhagim, and not everything is minhagim, on hanhagis. On Minhagim and on Hanhagis. I think it's a wonderful thing that there's a group of young Talmid HaChamim who are going to perpetuate all of these Minhagim and Hanhagas by publishing the Bata Yosef now in memory of Joe Karasik. He was a chassid of Rav Soloveitchik. He was very close to Rav Soloveitchik. I think it's wonderful, and it's a lot. Even if you don't follow those Minhagim and those Hanhagas, there's what to learn. There's a lot of learning there.